Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
Hi everybody, welcome back to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Nick, and today we have Michelle, who was a top 10 in the May Challenge. You made it all the way to top 10 from around about, I reckon there was about 3,000 women. So how did you do this, Michelle? Welcome. We want to hear all about it.
Thank you. I have no idea how I did it. I am absolutely still in shock, I will be honest with you. Every now and again, I keep going, have a look at the photo, double check it's still there. And yeah, but it was a long, for me, it was a long time in the coming. So this has been about 6 years that I've been doing this for. So I'm very happy.
Oh, that's so good. So like anyone who's listening and thinks that it's something that you can do really quickly, obviously they need to listen to your story, because sometimes it does take a while, and to do it properly, it takes a while. And I've seen your shape, and that shape doesn't come overnight.
Mm-mm. No. So
you got the lats, it's all there.
Yes, luckily for me, I'm only about 3 foot tall. Well, actually 5 foot, so I'm very short. So yes, I do, when you're the shorter you are, you do look a little bit bigger and your muscles look a little bit different, which is good. But the downside of that is that it's very difficult for me, for my shape, to lose fat. I have a typical body shape that holds a lot of fat, so I have to work that little bit harder sometimes just to try and get rid of that, unfortunately. But you've got to enjoy the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, you're probably reasonably good at putting on muscle, but then, yeah, losing that fat is the harder bit for you. So some people, I'm automatically jealous of that, because it takes me such a long time to gain anything on. I'm very, very tall. So anything.
Yeah, I'm jealous of you for that. So we can squat for a week on golf.
Why is that always the case? Always. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, Michelle, a little bit about your background, your journey, just, you know, what you do for work, all of that stuff, just everything that you'd like to tell us about yourself.
Okay. So as I like said to you before, and those who know me, I'm never scared to let the truth get in the way of a good story or tell a story or whatever, and I'll go on and on and on and on. But for me, I came from a background of in the airline industry, and I was a travel agent. So spending either long hours standing, working, not eating, or spending many, many hours sitting, being quite sedentary. I do have my body shape, so I know my type is very much, I hold a lot of fat, and it's very difficult for me to get rid of that. And I also came from a background, I lived in the northwest of WA, and it's very much a culture of partying and drinking and going to the beach and that outback kind of culture. So when I moved down to Perth, I was in quite a bad state for my height. I probably would have been about a good 80 kilos, 85 kilos. I was almost perfectly round, so it's not some days. I had lost a little bit of weight because I had to get some surgery due to some previous issues, which I can explain in a sec. And I was sitting on the couch, and I sort of have this as my story, but I was literally sitting on the couch again, hating myself, wanting to do something, couldn't do anything, flicking through the channels. And I'd never seen a program called Muscle TV. So it's an Australian produced TV show, and it was about bodybuilding and things like that. And I'd always thought, oh, I could be a bodybuilder, you know, we all dream of something. And I was halfway through a bottle of wine and halfway through a great big family block of chocolate and packet of potato chips and watching this show. And during the advert, a Maxine's challenge came up, for Max's and Maxine's. And watching the whole thing, it looked fantastic and I loved it. And they said, it's closing in 4 hours. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have to get out. I have to do it in 4 hours. So I picked up the computer. I literally logged on, signed on. Then I resumed and finished my wine and my chips and my chocolate. Then off I went and downloaded everything. And I started the next morning. And that was the first time I ever did the challenge. And it was probably the first time I've actually ever been honest with how I lived, how I ate, had to really have a look at myself and what my choices were and what consequences they were. But it was also the first time I actually really challenged myself where I didn't give up. Many tears. I drove my poor husband probably insane with all my whinging and crying and I can't do this, yes I can, no I can't. But I did it, and that first time I don't think I've ever been more proud of actually being able to do something.
So you got through that bit, the bit that everyone has where they go, I just can't, and you started it. And I'm sure that having that support there as well, having either your husband or someone that's actually, that not even that they can say good on you, but that they can listen to you whinge, I think that's really important as well, because I think that you've hit the nail on the head with the thing where it's not always rosy and you need someone to just be able to say, yeah, keep going, it's okay. You can still sometimes be a bit negative about it and it's okay. You don't always have to say, oh, I've got this. I think that's really right. Important to honour the other side of it and go, oh, I feel like crap today. And someone can go, well, you should just do it anyway.
Yeah. So over the years in the lead up to that, for probably good 10 years prior, I was desperately trying to change the habits that I was in. I really didn't like my lifestyle. I didn't like the way that I looked when I got up in the morning on the way to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror. And I didn't focus on what others thought of me. I focused on what I thought of me. So I would see something and I would give it a go. I would try another diet. I would attempt it, fail it, keep it going, try something else. And I did this yo-yo up and down diet for a good 10 years. And I remember, and some of it was quite expensive and some of it actually, unfortunately for me, did some damage because we try things that we don't know anything about, we don't have any education, and, you know, you have long-term effects. I had hair loss and I had digestive issues and things like that, and then the cost. And I said to my husband one day, you know, I'm really sorry about this. And he said, at the end of the day for me, you're going back and you're giving it a go. You work out what doesn't work for you, but then you go and look for something and you keep trying. And he said, that's what's important. He said, one day you'll find it, and when you do, that's when you'll go. Mm-hmm. Even though these haven't been the one, you still keep going, and I'm not bothered by the impact it has on the family or anything or financial or whatever, because you need to find what's going to work for you and what's going to make you happy and what's going to make you healthy. And he supported me 1,000% and still does to this day.
That's good. It's helpful when you have someone like that. It really is. But at the same time, you're the one that's had to do all the work. Because people do say, oh, my gosh, it's so bad. But, yeah, it's good for them to like what you're doing. But, yeah, it's really at the end of the day, it's us alone with those weights or whatever's in the cupboard, you know, and making those choices. And so what do you think it was about this program that made you stick to it?
I like the time frame. The time frame works for me. It's not so quick that it's over and done within 28 days, because if your time limit is too small, the minute you have one little hiccup, you go, oh, well, I haven't got any time now, it's too late, and you chuck it all in. Mm. If it's too long, you go, oh, I've got plenty of time, I can have this cake, I can go out for dinner and have this meal and drink this wine, it's going to be fine, I can skip this workout for this day and tomorrow and the next day, it's not going to be too much of an impact. I liked how that was. I liked initially, it gave me the initial introduction to supplements, which I'd never had before and I didn't understand. It taught me on that initial path of what is protein and what is protein powder and why do we need it, what dosages, how can I get it in other ways. And it gave me an idea of how to do the food. But I didn't necessarily learn that each time. I found that each time I did the challenge, because I've done probably 6 or 7 challenges for the
last
8 years, which is a lot. So I think I own half of Maxine's now.
Yeah, I reckon. I was going to say, absolutely.
I'll check my shares after. But each time I retained something that I learned from the previous challenge, took it into the next one, then because I didn't have to focus on that, I'd learned that, I was able to then discover something else I didn't know, so whether it's about carbohydrates or fats or meal timing or something like that. But
I love that.
I love that.
That's really good, because it's so true. There's no way with anything that you can learn everything
And every single time that you enter something, your experience is going to be different. It's the same as like being on stage. You might learn one thing one time. For me, the first time was posing. I was obsessed with getting the posing right. And then the second time it was something else. And every time you learn something different.
Yeah, that was like the first 3 years I competed. I worked on my posing and nailed it. I worked on it so much I forgot to die pretty much.
Yes, you can do that. You can do that because if you get coaches on board that are obsessed with posing, well, you kind of almost over-prepare with the posing and you forget about everything else.
You forget about the other bit. Yeah, we need to die. We need to bring it out.
It's got to be everything at once if you want to present that, that package. And I think that that's why they're very similar, these two things.
So I like to tell a lot of my clients that because of them accents, it inspired me. I actually went and got my Cert 3 and 4 in personal training.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what you do now, isn't it? So
I'm a personal trainer.
Yes, you're a coach.
I definitely am, yes. Mm-hmm. And I even went on and I've been studying nutrition for the last 2 years and I'm just finishing my third lot of sports nutrition coaching as an accredited nutritionist for the third time, and I'm starting uni this year to be a sports dietitian and to continue on. But I tell a lot of my clients that comp prep is just the same as doing a 6-week challenge or a 12-week challenge. It's just a different time frame.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it has the same principles and the same mindset, and you've still got to have the same determination and. But you'll learn so much and become so much stronger. It's ridiculous how strong mentally you'll become.
And you also, you learn about how every single little thing that you do does have an impact upon another thing.
It does.
Okay? It does. And it's good or bad. And sometimes you might need to back off and have a rest because that will have an impact on how your body looks. So it's not always about going harder. It might be sometimes putting the brakes on and going, wait a minute, I'm inflamed, but I'm not quite right. I don't feel well. My mental health is kind of going a bit downhill. Might have a day off. And it's like, oh, hang on. There it is. So it's even sometimes learning how to, you know, that less is more. I'm sure that that's what you tell your clients as well.
Yeah. So quite often I'll see how they're feeling, see how they're talking, what their sort of their mood is and how their movements are. And quite often I'll say, you know, you're not training today. You go off on and I want to, you to go home, buy the supermarket. I want you to grab some wholemeal rolls, grab some lean beef burgers, take them home, make some sweet potatoes, have a burger, some chips, homemade, and I want you to go to bed early and just chill out. And they're like, no. And then the next day, come back and they're feeling happier and leaner and stronger and they just nail their training.
That is such a good point because I find, and you would see this probably with your clients and also just if you look at the forum at the moment or the Facebook group or anywhere, everybody's all about do more, do more, do more. That's the only way. You're telling me to do 10,000 steps, I'm going to do 30, day one, you know, that kind of a thing. And I think it's just because we've been sold, particularly as women, that there's no way that you can have what you want unless you give up your entire soul. You know what I mean? And I think for people like us, it's about showing people that you can actually achieve things without having to go to that extreme as long as you're consistent. Don't you reckon?
That's right. But there's also that guilt factor because especially with women because they have this thing that I can't sit down and do nothing because I feel guilty. But sometimes what you need mentally and what you need physically is to sit down and do nothing. And if I say to you, what did you do today? Go, oh, I sat and did nothing. They're going to see that as a negative thing. But in actual fact, your muscles are recovering. So therefore they're growing. So your stress hormones are reducing. So your happy hormones are increasing. Everyone around you is going to be happier. And your food and your training is going to be spectacular. So
yeah, I love that. That's so good. That is so good to hear. That is my favourite thing that I've heard today, Michelle. I love it. I just love it. So, yeah.
Guilt-free, yeah.
Yeah, so just the idea of if it's all tied into it, if we want to look better, let's just face it, everyone wants to look better. Sometimes relaxing
actually does make you look better if that's your number one goal as well. As well as, but what you said about everybody else is happier around you, that also helps. If you're trying to fight against the tide of your family and what's going on there, that's a really big, that's very difficult.
And it's much more important now with what so many people are going through at the moment. Everyone's on top of each other.
Very much.
Stress level is at an all-time high. It's going to be very difficult for anyone to be able to reduce that stress. And then when they start thinking, oh, my God, I have to reduce my stress, what does that do? That then makes you more stressed.
I know. Trying to reduce. It's a hard time to be a coach in a way. I mean, it's the perfect time for us because there's so many people that need our help. But the stress factor is something that I believe that we're not going to be able to do much other than help alleviate it a little bit, but we're not going to be able to eliminate it for people at the moment because it's just their circumstances are so insane.
We have to learn to sort of manage around it and just change maybe one or two things is about all that we can do.
That's right, and be understanding as coaches that our people are not always going to turn up optimal. We just have to sort of work with whatever we've got at the time because it's just so random what's going on.
I know.
So what's been your absolute biggest challenge? So say in the last challenge that you did where you got top 10 and, you know, what was your absolute biggest challenge in that challenge?
For me is because I've been consistently training for so long, getting into the gym and weight training is not an issue. And I think that actually changed probably in about my third challenge where I decided weight training or doing the training itself was a non-negotiable and that was like a job to me. So you have to get up, you have to go to work, you have to get up, you have to train. So I never get to that point where I think, oh, do I want to train today? Do I feel like it? It's just something that you have to do. But in growing, getting my muscle mass to where it was is good, but having to accept that for me, that wasn't where I had to focus on. I actually had to focus on fat loss. I don't like to move a great deal, which is probably why I like bodybuilding so much.
Yeah.
I'm not one for doing cardio. I don't like to run. I don't like to get my heart rate up. I don't like to sit. And I'm predominantly lazy.
Yeah.
So for me, this challenge was about having to accept that what I want to do and what I think I should do was in actual fact not what I had to do, that I actually finally had to give up the ghost and accept I've got to move my bum and I've got to go faster than 1 kilometre an hour. And there was just, there's nothing I could do and I had to just suck it up, buttercup, and that's it.
Gosh, so. I love this. I just love it because it's so the opposite to me because I've got to really sit down and anytime I love training, love weight training, but for me because I'm like an ex-endurance athlete, it's just all about just sit down and don't do all those steps because otherwise you'll lose your muscles. I'm just in awe because for you, you already have the muscles. You could probably not train for a month and just focus on fat loss and look like a bodybuilder on stage, like a bigger competitor, right?
But the thing is, that's the issue. So, like, I am a figure competitor, but I've never got to that leanness because I just struggle to do cardio, to move, to do HIIT training. The minute it gets a little bit hard and I'm out of breath, I'm like, anyone looking? And I sort of like just slowly, quietly disappear off in the, you know, no one noticing and say, yeah, I did it, but I did it.
So you found everything you must have by the look of your final photo. You must have found it within to do some of that HIIT training or some of that stuff. You must have.
It was a big learning curve, but I know I've got a long way to go yet. So the next one will hopefully hit the mark.
Yeah. What are you going to hit the mark more? You're just going to step on stage next time. That's what you've got to do.
Well, I was actually due to step on stage in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But I won't make that again for that exact reason. I'm just simply not going to be lean enough. So I've readjusted at the moment to next year.
Which comp are you going to do?
ICN.
Oh, yeah. So, see, in WA, that's probably still going ahead with no dramas, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still on in 4 weeks. So they're still going and all the girls so far are just looking amazing. So instead of doing that, I'll refocus for next year and I'll do I'm already doing this challenge now just for this next week to try and push through because it's a similar time frame and just see if I can get right down to where I needed to be without having the pressure of knowing that I've got to step on stage. And
nice. And then you might be able to have like 6 or so weeks and you'd have to get back into it again, but you can't be starting from a really good spot, aren't you, to then prep for like season 8 theoretically. Yeah, nice. Nice. Oh, I'm excited. You'll have to keep updating us with your journey because I now follow you on Instagram. So I want to see everything.
Yeah, I follow you too now.
Now there's like another, like I'm watching you. So you've got to put your physique updates and everything because I'll be really invested in this, Michelle. So
I will.
You better step up the mark with your HIIT training. Do you like the HIIT training or do you like the low intensity steady state or a little bit of both? What works for you?
I think a little bit of both. I do enjoy, or I've learned to enjoy getting my steps up. Mm-hmm. So I very rarely sit on the couch in front of the TV and watch shows. Mm-hmm. I watch my go-to shows on the treadmill now.
Nice. Good. That's habit stacking. Good habit stacking.
Yeah. So I'm still getting that time in and having my time. So I'll make sure I hit my non-negotiable steps every day. And for me, that's 10 to 15,000 steps a day that I do. And then every second day I aim to do like a short HIIT session and that's usually sprinting or something that is hitting that heart rate, burning that fat, but instead of using my muscle to do it, it's actually building up muscle. So a lot of sort of short sprinting at very high intensity and stuff.
Yeah, that's why you look like, that's why you look like you do. You look like a machine. That's really good.
I'd like to
look
like Laura
Craft. Well, this is you. Like, you've got that. I'm chasing you. So tell me, this is not one of the questions that's on the thing, but I need to know, what is your weakest body part? Like, what is something that you want to bring up for your comp?
It is, without a doubt, it is my glutes and my hamstrings, and they hold on to fat like many of us hold on to emotional baggage. It just sticks forever.
Until the last minute. Till the last minute, then it goes away.
But it hasn't gone away yet. So I'm still hoping it will one
day. Yeah. It's interesting. Do you find that with different preps your body holds onto fat in different places? Say for me,
sometimes. Yeah. I've probably discovered that more about my clients, that can happen rather than myself. Myself, I find it really does stick to my legs and my glutes. But I've had quite a lot of clients that they do, as they go over the years, they have changed and there'll be areas there. But that generally goes on to habits and lifestyle and where they are and has a big effect on that. And, of course, age as well.
We love age. We love it. So do you meal prep?
All the time. The first challenge is where I learned to meal prep. So I learned to take my little box and I would take it to a restaurant or take it to someone's house and do that. At first it was quite confronting and people would say, what are you doing? I'd be like, I'm a bodybuilder. And they'd look at me and go,
good idea.
Okay. So this was from the beginning. So I told myself what I was, even though I didn't look like it. And then eventually it became habit and I believed it and I just taught myself that's what it was. And I've literally meal prepped ever since then. And now I will meal prep every meal for an entire week, short maybe one or two meals in the event that I go out. But because I track everything as well, I know what I can have and what I can't. Mm. And most restaurants and takeaway places are all on my fitness pal. So when I go, even if I go to Crown, there's restaurants in Crown that are actually on my fitness pal that I know that I can have a look, see what's allowed, and then bang, that's what I've ordered. So
I love that. I really love that. Right up my alley in terms of what I would tell people in the challenge as well about planning and how to still be able to go out and do other things and even, you know, have your plan for just say you're stuck at the supermarket, what would you choose? Know your go-to foods that you could quickly get. You know how they do like boiled eggs in the supermarket now, things like that, you know, just knowing
exactly.
It's so important to just know that even if you're on a road trip with your family, you can even get sort of like, say, a Subway, you can get the salad with the chicken with no dressing, that kind of thing that people just might go, I'm not sure what to do.
Precisely. You know? I mean, you look at Coles or Woolworths nowadays, even if you don't want to chop up food, you don't have a lot of time, if you're a business couple or you're on your own, or family, there's 20 kids running around, and you don't have time to chop things up, it's not the best for the environment, I will admit, but you've got all pre-chopped and prepped vegetables in the vegetable section of both of them. You've got entire bags of spinach and lettuce and all different mixes. You've got pre-done salads. You've got food that's chopped that's all ready to be roasted or be steamed. You've got meat that's already marinated and it's cut up and it's prepped, chopped. You don't even have to get your fingers on them. Everything's done. And I just say to people, if you're overwhelmed with it and you think you can't do it, because I was once, I think my first day took me like 10 hours or something, and it looked like I'd destroyed the kitchen, and I think I landed up with 3 meals and about 45 ones that didn't work in the bin.
Yeah.
That I just say to people.
Yeah, that's today. That's everyone today, right this second.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. But instead of doing that, pick one meal every day and just prep that. So maybe breakfast. So when you get up, your day is done, the first meal of the day is done and sorted. Do that, then you've started your day on the right path rather than have something bad and go, do you know what, I started bad, I might as well keep going bad. So just do that one, and then when you get the hang of that, do that and your snacks. Your snacks are super easy. So you've got your Maxine bar and you've got some nuts and you've got a piece of fruit. Do that and you're sorted. So then you've got your two little rows of every day is done. And then you slowly work your way up to there, because once you practice something 100 times, it becomes normal and you know that you can do them.
I love this, Michelle. Like the gospel.
Why do I talk too much?
It's perfect. It's perfect. I need to get it released like yesterday. I love the way that you've described it. It's absolutely perfect. And yeah, I just want to know if you've got any other advice for challenges. I mean, you've already told me that, and that's gold. That's absolute gold. Anything else that you can think of that you want to share with new challenges or anybody? Like, how would you, what strategies did you use to get to the top 10? Just anything.
Probably not necessarily how to get in the top 10, but a few years ago, myself and a best friend of mine, we started up a Facebook group that was Perth Challenger, so all WA people. We had a couple of hundred people in WA that year, and I think we were lucky enough. We had about 2 or 3 top 10 finalists come out of there. We had about 20 top 50s. We had quite a really good group. And probably the one thing that I told everybody to really do that was important, and that I'll say to everyone here, take selfies. Take selfies now. Take as many selfies as you can. Don't necessarily put them on social media. That's not the purpose of them. But take as many selfies and pictures with your family and everything, because when you get through this and you get to where you want to be, when you do it successfully, which you will never get those pictures back. Like, I treasure my before photos because people don't know that they're me, probably as my most special things that I own in the entire world, just about, other than my family and some of those things. But I will never get those pictures back, and I treasure them. So I say to people, you do that, because you're going to look back and go, oh my God, and that then becomes your motivation, because you did that. You're going to continue doing that, and it's only going to get better. So just take the photos, just store them in your phone, print them out and just put them in a folder, store them on your computer. But keep them, because you don't ever want to miss that opportunity.
That is the best advice. What great advice. Absolutely. I still refer to photos from when I was, say, 19, and people go, I can't believe that that was you. Beers in hand, all sorts of stuff like that, and people will go, no way. And it's like the best, because you can look back and you can just see where you've come from. And you, also, if you're having a bad day where you currently are, which happens, you can actually go, wait a minute. Look, and as in the bodybuilding journey as well, it's so important to document stuff. So I think that that's almost part of our job, isn't it? Like, to own every element of ourselves.
But they'll also become an inspiration, and people will look at them, and if they talk about their journey, they go, what do you know? You don't know what I'm going through. And then they can say to them, well, I do. You don't know what someone else's journey is, because people now just assume we are what the face of the cover of a book. No one knows that there's pages and a story underneath. And, you know, then they can use that to help others and inspire them and go, okay, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think especially sort of if you go into anything to do with bodybuilding, you very often have had a past where something has tipped you into wanting to be absolutely excel with your body. So often you do have some good advice for others because you've been that far down to have to want to get to that pinnacle. I think there's something in all of us. We're slightly cray, but we're also like full of just genuine understanding of others and their situations, I think. And that's what I think you're a great coach for others. You heaps of your clients when they hear this podcast will be they'll be like, oh, there's our coach. So how
I bang it in their ear day in, day out, and they're just like
Do you have heaps of clients?
I have a few. I don't generally take on too many because I'm very much about quality, not quantity. And I want them to stay that way and make sure that it's a very long-term sustainable thing. So I teach very much about sustainable habits, never learning more than two or three things at any one time so that they get structured and learn and then they can move on to the next one.
Oh, I love it. Well, I really appreciate your time today, Michelle. It's been a really
great chat. Thank you so much for having me. It was just so amazing and to finally meet you as well. And I just love the Maxine's journey that I've been on for so long. So I finally made it.
Well, congratulations. I mean, your transformation looked amazing. And it's still obviously is still a work in progress because
it's still a work in progress. Yes,
we want to see those medals. But look, it's not even about that. It's about I know this feeling. You want to step up on stage and know that you have nailed that physique to the best of your own ability, and then you'll be satisfied until the next time.
Yes, and you know what it's like. You're never satisfied, and you never
100%. As soon as it gets,
it's a lifestyle.
As soon as it's good, it's not good anymore. But no, thank you so much. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. See you, Michelle. Really appreciate it. It's been so much fun.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.